From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We are told that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. Therefore we who are sinful, and who are far from being perfect, must not wonder if we are called to pass through suffering too. Shall the head be crowned with thorns, and shall the other members of the body be rocked upon the dainty lap of ease? Must Christ pass through the seas of his own blood to win the crown, and are we to walk to heaven dry-shod in silver slippers? No. Our Master's experience teaches us that suffering is necessary, and the true-born child of God must not, would not escape it if he might. But there is one very comforting thought in the fact of Christ's being made perfect through suffering. It is that he can have complete sympathy with us. He is not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In this sympathy of Christ, we find a sustaining power. One of the early martyrs said, "I can bear it all, for Jesus suffered, and he suffers in me now. He sympathizes with me, and this makes me strong." Believer, lay hold of this thought in all times of agony. Let the thought of Jesus strengthen you as you follow in his steps. Find a sweet support in his sympathy, and remember that to suffer is an honorable thing. To suffer for Christ is glory. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to do this. Just so far as the Lord shall give us grace to suffer for Christ, to suffer with Christ, just so far does he honor us. The jewels of a Christian are his afflictions. The regalia of the kings whom God hath anointed are their troubles, their sorrows, and their griefs. Let us not, therefore, shun being honored. Let us not turn aside from being exalted. Griefs exalt us, and troubles lift us up. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Thank you.
Pastor A. W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century, a self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God. He was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. Today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Total Depravity. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, where the Apostle Paul declares the natural state of every person born into this world. Because everyone is descended from Adam, everyone has inherited a sin nature. Not only is every person a sinner by birth, but each one deliberately chooses to sin, because his or her heart is in rebellion against God. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, man's will is biased toward evil, so that everything he does is tainted by sin. The unsaved person hates God and his law. In this state, man is incapable of loving or pleasing God. This is indeed a bleak picture. God, however, has provided the answer by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to become his substitute for sinners by dying on the cross. As Paul said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Against the black background of total depravity, we see a demonstration of total grace. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message called Total Depravity.
Look across the world, there are, in the religions of men, two great dogmas. One or the other, you will find, will hold sway in the religions of the world. I'll give them their proper titles. One is called autosoterism. That is, man is able to save himself. This is actually the official creed that stipulated, for example, in the Humanist Manifesto. Never forget that humanism is a religion. It is the worst form of idolatry known to man. It is the idiocy of man worshipping himself. But it spells it out. man is able to save himself. Then, of course, you have what's called synergism. That means that man can cooperate with God in saving his soul. That God helps man to save himself. So either man saves himself or God helps man to save himself. But when you look at this text, Paul says, no, sir. You can't save yourself. And you can't help God to save you. A, he doesn't need your help. And B, you have no help to give. And God doesn't help you to save yourself. How often we've heard the old folly from the pulpit. God has done his part, now it's up to you to do your part. If that were the gospel, we'd all be damned. God has done his part, and it's up to you to do your part. What folly? Paul says that if you're without Christ, Romans 5 verse 6, you're without strength. That doesn't mean to say you're weak. That means you're beyond weak. You have no strength whatsoever. Now put this all together. Totally depraved sinners, every part of their nature corrupted, the will, the seat of human depravity, so that everything that man does, even his good actions, are like filthy rags before God. Nothing that man does is done out of the proper motivation. What's the first and great commandment of God's law? Love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your mind. There's not a sinner in the world, A, has ever fulfilled it. And B, there's not a sinner in the world has ever done anything out of a pure love for God as he's revealed himself. Paul says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All the good that men do is not growing out of the faith of the gospel. So that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. As Solomon said, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, the wicked have to plow. And if they don't plow, they'll not reap. And if they don't reap, they won't eat. He's not saying they ought not to plow. What he's saying is that when the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, when the heart is totally depraved, when corruption is in every part of the nature, that the very best acts of men, while they may set one man as being better than another in human terms, they do not win him the favor of God, they do not open the doors to glory, and they are in fact yet refined, but nonetheless real expressions of his continuing hate and hostility to God. Here's the situation, totally depraved, and totally incapable of doing anything to reverse that depravity, for one very simple reason. That is, sinners don't want to reverse that depravity. See, let me back up here a little bit. There are preachers who, and I wonder at either the brains or lack thereof, or I wonder at the honesty or lack thereof when preachers go down this road. But they paint the picture against what I'm saying tonight. They paint the picture, poor little sinners who are wanting to get rid of this burden of depravity. They're struggling to get rid of their depravity. They so want to get right with God. They so want to be in Christ. There's this big, bad, sovereign God of John Calvin We won't let them. Greatest load of diabolical rubbish you ever heard in your life. You see, there's no poor little sinners who desperately want to get rid of their depravity until God enters in to give them that desire. Jesus said they love their sin. If you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, you know that's the real reason why you're unsaved. Why are you not saved? You don't want to be saved. That's the simple reason. You don't want to be saved. Why are you going the way you're going? Because that's the way you want to go. There's no such thing as this poor little squirming sinner crying, "Oh God, I want out of this depravity. God won't let me." No, sinners, depraved, incapable of spiritual good. That seems to cut off all hope. And if those were the only two verses in the Bible, you'd have to say, yeah, there is no hope. But you see, this is a text that's in a context. And the context shows that while this cuts off all hope in self, it does not cut off all hope in the Savior. Because the very next verse says it's written to people who are now not in the flesh. They're not in the flesh. They are no longer in Adam. They are no longer under condemnation. They're no longer full of hate and hostility to God. They have been reconciled to God. They are now in Christ. In other words, in its context, this text is saying to men and women, your situation is dire. That's why the sentence is death. We're talking hell now. We're talking eternal damnation now. We're talking the blazing wrath of a sin-hating God forever. The sentence is death. Worse still, you can do nothing about it, and you don't even want to do anything about it. But, and there's always a but. The gospel is God's great but God. And here is the glorious truth. There is a way, by the grace of God, for sinners under sentence of death to be saved. Not by their own effort. Not by their own merit. Not by ignoring the depth of their sin. Not by denying the depth of their depravity. But by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Total depravity, total guilt, total inability, total ruin. That's the black side of the picture. Now God says, here is total grace. For the sinner, there is an answer to guilt and depravity through union with Jesus Christ, whereby God, having laid our sins on Jesus, places all his righteousness to our account and accepts us freely and forever in the person of his Son. I said this morning that there is an infallible connection between faith and salvation. The command of God is to all men everywhere to repent. That's his command to you. We've talked about sin tonight. Repentance of sin starts with an acknowledgement that it is what God says it is. It starts with the acknowledgement and proceeds to the confession. I am guilty as charged. Then it looks to Christ. This is where repentance comes to faith. It looks to Christ, God's provision. It hears the word of the Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It hears the promise. If you come to me, I will under no circumstances cast you out. And it comes. And between the faith of the sinner, placed in Jesus, and the salvation of his soul from hell unto glory for all eternity, there is an infallible connection. It is impossible to believe the gospel and perish. Here is grace that doesn't put a band-aid upon the deadly cancer of sin. It goes to the very root of the matter. It gets down to where the trouble really is. And it gives you God's radical solution. When you come to Christ, being now among those who are no longer after the flesh, you are after the Spirit. You no longer are carnally minded, hateful to God, and hostile to God, but you are now for God, and He for you. Instead of enmity, reconciliation, God and the sinner at one, each satisfied with Christ. Where do you stand tonight? Total depravity. Total spiritual inability. These are terrible truths, but they are truths. Turn your eyes on Christ, and there is God's answer. For man, the creature's sin. I have no message, but the time-worn, time-honored, God-given, Spirit-breathed message of the righteousness of Christ made available to sinners to be received by faith alone. Christ is God's answer. You get Christ and you've got the total answer, the only answer. You miss Christ. You reject Christ. And there's no answer. May God write it in our hearts. Do not leave this meeting tonight until you can say of an assurance, my sin. As the hymn put it, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to Christ's cross, and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. O God, our Father, write it indelibly there. We realize that thy word paints a very bleak and black picture of man without Christ. O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, that thou wilt convict men and women, boys and girls, of the awful depth of the need of the heart. And, O God, we pray, bring them, quicken them, effectually call them, get them to Christ. Give fruit, O Lord, we pray, for the preaching of thy word. Now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt part us with thy blessing, and keep us in thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom, be the abiding portion of all by blood-bought church, both tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name, giving thee our thanks. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.